Well, good morning, Tucson. Welcome to the Jump In Show. This is my third time on the air, and I have some really special guests today from the Reed Park Zoo. It's very much my family favorite. Today we have Deborah Carr, who's the marketing director, and also Adam Ramsey, excuse me, Adam, and the director of animal programs. So we're going to talk a little bit about marketing. We're going to talk about the excitement of the new programs as well as the new exhibits that are being developed. And some are actually open. So we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about that. And then, of course, we want to make sure that everybody knows how you can support your zoo because it's important. Now, first off, we're going to start with Deborah. Deborah, good morning.
Good morning. Great to be here.
Good to see you. Deborah's a good friend. I'm a former zoo employee at the Audubon Zoo. Mm-hmm. And so often when Deborah and I get together, we could go all day talking zoo stories. And she's going to share some of those this morning with us. So Deborah, talk a little bit about your experience in the zoo world and then what brought you to Tucson.
Well, you know, first of all, I have been a zoo fan and animal lover since I was a very young child. And I was that person that went on a field trip in school to the Brookfield Zoo in Chicago and got left behind because I couldn't stop watching the chimpanzees. I was so fascinated with them. But I had the great privilege of working for Zoo Tampa for a number of years and really brought together two components of my heart, and that is connecting people to animals and the marketing side. And really kind of took it from there. And when I heard that this position came open, I jumped at the chance to apply.
I have to tell you folks that when I moved to Tucson as the general manager of Old Tucson, we bought a season pass or annual pass, as they're called now, or membership at the Reed Park Zoo. And of course, my kids grew up at the Audubon Zoo where I worked in New Orleans, and we were there all the time. I mean, they just loved animals. I think at that time you had polar bears. You know, which was really exciting, you know, because when do you get a chance to see polar bears? So I understand how excited it must have been to come to the living desert. And so what happened? Let me just share with me. So you moved to Tucson. You know, you probably may or may not know much about the Sonoran Desert. So what were your first impressions of when you pulled into that first day in Reed Park Zoo?
Well, I first came to Reed Park Zoo years ago on my first visit. My husband at the time had been living here, and I came to visit him. And I happened to arrive in the spring, and I was really shocked because I was expecting everything to be brown and dead looking and was just enamored by the profusion of color. And then when I went to Reed Park Zoo, I was pleasantly surprised about the intimacy of the park, but also just that ability to see the animals up close and to see a number of animals. I wasn't expecting that many animals. It was a warm and welcoming experience, and kind of fell in love with the zoo, and it became years later my kind of go-to place once my husband had passed away, and it was a place where I felt like my soul could be refreshed.
You know, a lot of urban zoos were developing in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and they are often connected to a park. So tell us this about the synergy between Reed Park and Reed Park Zoo.
Yes, well, we are located centrally in Tucson in Reed Park. We take up about 24 acres of the park, and we have a great relationship. We are on land that is owned by the city, but we are privately operated as the Reed Park Zoo. And, you know, it's one of those things where, yes, we have a limited number of spaces available in the park, but Reed Park is a great place because you have so many things going on at one time. It really is kind of a central location for people to come and enjoy outdoors in the park. They can go to Demeester for a concert, come to the zoo, you know, play golf. There's so many things going on there. It's really a gem in the middle of Tucson.
I agree with you 100%. You know, being part of a park environment and being a in a sense a public institution, but really a commercial business, it's better than word of mouth advertising, because people are coming there, they're having a good time, they reduce their stress, and next thing they know, they, oh, what is this place? If they're a new visitor or a new resident, what is this place inside the park? And sure enough, it's the Reed Park Zoo. And of course, all they have to do is just turn to the left or right, and they'll find folks that have been there and have been enjoying it. And what's been really exciting for me is to see not only the new construction and all of the planning that's going on, which we'll be talking about that in a little bit more detail about our third segment. But what's really exciting about is how engaged the community is, not only with Reed Park, but what goes on in Reed Park. And often in a nonprofit organization, we talk about members and how they're the most passionate group of people. They have lots of ideas and opinions, but they're important to have a voice. And well, I think it's important that over the years, Reed Park management has listened to the community. And I really, every time I read about the zoo, they use the word our zoo. And I experienced that at the Audubon Zoo when we built an aquarium of the Americas. And I remember in an interview, someone asked me, how come you're saying our aquarium, you know? And it was a really simple answer. This is the people's aquarium. This is the people's zoo. We invite you to come and be our guests. And we want to make sure you're entertained, you're educated, you're creating memories. And I think at firsthand, I can certainly support that this is clearly in Tucson's community zoo. And while it may be in geographically, as I mentioned in our pre-interview, a small zoo in comparison to a lot of zoos, it's really a large zoo. And the programming and the way you take care of the animals, the exhibits, and there's just so much more that we're going to talk about here over the next during this hour. So thank you for both being here, and we're going to go to our first break here, and we'll be back, and we're going to talk to Adam Ramsey, and he's going to share some stories about the animals and how you can learn more about them. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. Welcome back, Tucson. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. This is Tom Moulton. I'm here with two special guests, Deborah Carr and Adam Ramsey. We're here every Thursday with a different program, different attractions. So far, we've had the Desert Museum and Old Tucson. And today, we're here with the two wonderful folks from Reed Park Zoo. Adam, as a director of animal programs, can you tell us a little about you? Entertained the thought of you coming to work for the Reed Park Zoo, and then kind of the stuff that you do every day at the zoo?
Yeah. Thanks for having me. So welcome. I'm actually a native of Tucson. So Reed Park Zoo is really the zoo that inspired me to go into saving wild animals and wild places, and to really inspire me for conservation. And I went to college in the Midwest, even though I was native to Arizona. And while I was there, I was fortunate enough to go into a master's program that specifically focused on working in zoos and aquariums. And then I worked at a couple other zoos in the Midwest before finally coming home. And I've been at Reed Park for 11 years now, and I absolutely love it. I've gotten to see the zoo grow and develop over my life, and now I'm a part of that development. And as far as what I do, you know, every day, you know, I'm in charge of the animal department, which is really three different kind of areas within that. So we have the animal husbandry side, which are the zookeepers that take care of the animals every single day. We have our veterinary side that obviously takes care of the medical needs of the animal. And then we have our newest department within that focuses on animal well-being because the animals always come first at Reed Park. And so we want to make sure that we have dedicated staff that go out there and do assessments on the animals and make sure that we're meeting all of their physical needs, all of their psychological needs. And so we have staff that are dedicated to just overseeing that as well.
Tell me a little bit about the accreditation that most successful zoos, if not all successful zoos, are part of.
Yeah, so we are a member of the Association of Zoos and Aquariums, AZA for short, and they do have an accreditation cycle. So it's every 5 years we get accredited. They send out multiple inspectors from other zoos. And it's about a year-long process. We're actually filling out our paperwork now for our next inspection cycle that'll happen either the very end of this year or beginning of next year. So it's a big process. The application is about a 3-inch binder thick full of paper, but they look into everything. So they look into the care of the animals, they look into the facilities, they look into the guest experiences. They want to make sure we're doing good conservation and good education. They want to make sure that we're financially stable. They look into absolutely everything we do. And so we're really proud to be members of the AZA because it's only a select number of zoos that are. But it basically is the gold standard for zoos, and we're really proud that we're a part of that.
Thank you. I had the pleasure to be through two of those, one at the Audubon Zoo and one at the Aquarium of the Americas. And I can tell you, folks, it is the most thorough investigation, but they're there to help you as well. It's not trying to find fault, but sometimes they encourage you to do a better job. So when you come out of that process for 1 year, I think everybody associated with that process understands how important it is to do all the things to the very best of your ability, and maybe times two, in order to make sure, ensure the safety of the animals, ensure the safety of the guests, make sure your educational programs are what the community desires. So back to our comment, Deborah, about that the Reed Park Zoo is our zoo. And you can be assured through this accreditation process that the Reed Park Zoo is operating at its highest level for sure. Now, a little bit about more about the animals, because obviously, clearly, they're the stars. Yeah. I mean, you know, we think we're the stars, but it's really the animals that folks come to see. And the selection of animals over the years has to be an interesting process. But there's another program in the few minutes we have on this segment is regarding the species survival. Could you tell us just a little bit about that program?
Yeah, so within the AZA, there are things called species survival programs, SSPs for short. And there's about 500 different SSPs within the AZA, and Reed Park Zoo specifically participates in about 45. And so those are programs that are designed to create sustainable populations within zoos that can help contribute to conservation. And a lot of those animals have even gone to be released back into the wild. So zoos are contributing to conservation in many different ways, and we're really proud that we are a part of so many of those different SSP programs.
Well, you know, when we come back, we've got a few minutes on this segment, but when we come back on the next segment, we're going to talk about the babies. And Deborah, you know, we're going to start with you regarding every time it seems like I pick up a Facebook ad or a news article or something, it's about the babies. And I had the opportunity to work with Deborah on featuring the baby elephants. And that's a big deal here. Our animal encounters with the elephants. It's probably one of the largest encounters of for the elephants. And that was, would you say that was probably one of the biggest capital investments made to the Reed Park Zoo over the years, Deborah?
Certainly to date. The Pathway to Asia that we're currently working on is going to be a little bit larger than that, but and it's probably our biggest project to date.
Yeah, and it was amazing because I had the opportunity to go there with a Channel 13 reporter and sales Steve Ochoa when we were filming a commercial, and it was about the 2-for-1 Book of Fun guide, savings guide that the Attractions Alliance has had around for 21 years. And whenever we would say 2-for-1, and I don't know if that was some kind of a cue, two elephants would show up. Two giraffes would show up, and they would. The elephant would raise. I'm not sure if it was a his or her, but would raise his trunk, and the giraffes, of course, were probably thinking we were going to feed them. So that was probably one of the neatest things that my little kids and me, the big kid, really enjoyed, and really zoos across the nation are figuring out, from a natural standpoint, how you can interact with the animals. And I think that's a really big part of, interacting as much as you can, obviously. We had a little bit different interaction when we were filming the commercial. I believe it was, we were accompanied by a keeper and a lot of safety measures were communicated to us. But there was one quick story. We wanted to interact with the rhino, okay? And what kind of rhinos do you have again?
We have white rhinos.
White rhinos, okay. And the keeper didn't tell us, and I wish he would have, that they don't really have teeth like we have.
Yeah. So they've got molars in the back, but in the front, it's more of just kind of like a gummy plate. Yeah.
That's right. So, but we didn't know that. Okay. And so the keeper gave. So we were trying. We're trying to figure out what's the best way to interact with the rhino. You know, and Steve Ochoa was allowed to approach the rhino properly. And now, remember now, folks, we don't recommend this. This was for a television commercial. And so we were off camera. But the keeper said, would you like to feed the rhino? And, he gave us some food. Well, Steve didn't realize there was no teeth in the front. So the next thing we know, Steve's fingers disappeared. And it was a hungry rhino, okay? But this is something you don't get to feed when you're at the zoo. Throw that out one more time, but it was really an interesting encounter for Steve, and we have the outtakes for that. So go to our website and you can probably see that. But it was really interesting to have the keeper take us around Reed Park Zoo, see a lot of the behind the scenes. We filmed some of it. To kind of behind the scenes look at the zoo. So we were certainly in front of the elephants, not behind the elephants. So, well, we're going to be back with Deborah Carr, and she's going to talk a little bit about what's really going on with all those babies happening at the Reed Park Zoo. It's a marketing director's dream. A marketing plan that writes itself when there's the latest baby encounter. So this is Jump In Tucson. See you back in a few minutes. Well, welcome back to Jump In. This is Tom Moulton. I'm the executive director of the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And behind the window, Matt just reminded me that if you missed the show on the Desert Museum and Old Tucson, you can listen to them on KVOI.com. And they will soon be on the SAAA, as we call it, website, TucsonAttractions.com, as we'll begin our first podcast. And it's predominantly audio, but we have this little camera right next to us, guys, if you didn't know what that was. And it basically just gives you a little bit of a headshot and lets people get to know who you are a little bit better. So welcome back, as I just mentioned. And I wanted to just quickly say about my boss, Dr. Ackerley. He will be here tomorrow, same time, 9 o'clock. And he's got some special guests, Val Romero from the Arizona Grill and Hearth, and Dale Lopez of the part of the Coaches for Charity, and they're getting ready for the 41st Ross Krug Cougar, let's say that three times, Basketball Classic. It's going to be in February, so Dr. Ackerley will talk about that tomorrow and give you that specific date. So we're here again with Deborah and Adam from Reed Park Zoo, and as I promised in the last segment, we're going to talk about the babies, and the babies are everywhere, especially at Reed Park Zoo. In the course of the last 2 years or 3 years, Deborah, tell us a little bit about really what's going on with all this, all these special announcements. I probably would have run out of cigars many years ago if I was a cigar smoker.
Well, it's always exciting to have new babies, and it's a real testament to our animal care team that we have such healthy animals that are breeding at the zoo. As Adam mentioned, we participate at Reed Park Zoo in 45 different species survival programs, and all of the births that we're seeing this spring, or this winter and spring, are recommendations from the species survival programs, or plans, to help build healthy and sustainable populations of those animals, many of which are rare and endangered, including we just had a baby zebra born.
Yes.
And we will be announcing, we've been doing a community-wide naming contest, and we will announce that name on January 31st, which happens to be International Zebra Day. And we have Grevy zebra at the zoo. Those are among the rarest and most endangered of all of the zebras. So this is a real, it's a big step and an important birth for that species. We also just had a baby giraffe.
Yes.
Born and hasn't quite made it out onto habitat yet, but again, another endangered species that we have at the zoo. We have the reticulated giraffes, and he was born at about 6 feet tall. Adam can tell you a little bit more about that birth, but we're very excited for that birth as well. It is the first giraffe that we've had born at the zoo in 24 years. Again, a recommendation from the Species Survival Plan. And then a very big birth that we're awaiting sometime between now and probably the end of March, middle of March, is another African elephant. Our last one is, she's turning 5, I believe, this year. And so those are very long gestation periods of about 22 months. It's a very exciting birth for us. And again, another important birth for that species and to tell that story.
Yeah. You know, the word cute is obviously associated with babies, and they are very cute, especially the baby elephants, because remind us of the names of the recent baby elephants that are at the Reed Park Zoo.
The most recent one is Mapenzi, with Penzi for short. She's very spunky, and she's going to be turning 5 this year. And of course, the very first African elephant born in Arizona was born at Reed Park Zoo. And people will probably remember Nandi. Nandi has a big fan club, actually, and will be turning 10 this year. So elephants are doing very well. We talked a little bit about that habitat. It's very spacious for the animals, and if you've been to zoos, it's been cited as one of the best elephant habitats in the country.
We're very, very unfortunate. I think there's a lot of larger zoos that are very envious of your the elephant encounter, as I have mentioned that word several times. Not sure it's accurate, but for in the zoo world, but it is an encounter, because you can get pretty darn close to those elephants safely, and they love the public. I can attest to that. They love their keepers too. We had the opportunity, the SAAA and its membership, probably every 2 years we get to go behind the scenes, talk a little bit that while there is the general, admission process where you get to walk around and see all the animals, and sometimes you can feed the giraffes in particular. I understand that maybe down the road, you're working on a feeding encounter with the flamingos, which when I had my daughter or my granddaughter go to the San Antonio Zoo, she got a chance to feed the flamingos. I think I even videotaped it and and sent it to you and to Nancy, your boss. And I said, you got to do this. And Nancy said, oh, we're planning on doing this. So so that's always a wonderful, you know, kind of, it's certainly a natural thing for the animals to eat, but it's very controlled because you don't want to overfeed the animals. But it is a very popular. If I recall correctly, you behind the scenes, a special kind of tour of the zoo. Is that open to the general public?
You can book a behind the scenes tour in advance. It's a smaller group, but you do get some pretty amazing experiences. We talked a little bit about the rhino, the rhinoceros, and you can go behind the scenes in one of those tours and maybe give the rhino a little bit of a scratch. They love
that. That's right. You don't get to feed the rhino. That was very, very, very special.
Right. There's also tours that include the health center. We have a wonderful health center at the zoo and various other aspects of the behind the scenes. So you can kind of get a little bit of a feel for the inner workings of the zoo and see some of the animals a little bit further up close.
So one of those close encounters, if we can borrow the movie title, executive director. Is Nancy the executive director or the president and CEO? Because I know nonprofits have gravitated away from executive director.
She's president and CEO.
Right. Okay.
Zoological.
That's
Society.
The title I long for. Of course, you know, I'm the executive director, as I mentioned, but she's the lady that has taken the zoo to a whole new level. I was talking off mic with Adam and to Deborah about, you know, how Nancy got her start. And we got to, you may share that story, because it's not she just magically appeared at the zoo.
Yeah, so she's started with the Reed Park Zoological Society. So back when we were a city-run zoo, we had the city operated the grounds and maintenance and the zookeeping and that side of things. But then we had a support organization, the Reed Park Zoological Society, that also provided a lot of other essential functions for us. And so she started as president of that, and that was over 10 years ago. But then when we privatized about 6 years ago, the Zoological Society took control of managing the day-to-day operations as well. So while we're still a city property, all the employees are now employed by the Zoological Society. And so that's how Nancy was able to step into that position. And she's done an amazing job.
You know, that's happened to a lot of urban zoos. So the zoo that I worked with also was a city property, city employees. You know, very passionate about what their job was, but we started very similar, but it was called the Friends of the New Orleans Zoo before it was called the Audubon Institute, where they partnered with the Audubon Society. I can tell you it went a long way back to what we mentioned earlier on about our zoo. The city wanted the New Orleans Zoo to become their zoo. So they brought somebody from the accounting department, of all places, and turned them loose. And next thing you know, the New Orleans Zoo is got rid of all the cages and started building the natural habitats. And now they run an aquarium and maybe three other nature organizations in the community. And it was really the right way to go. The city is still very engaged and very proud of what you guys do, and I know the mayor personally, Rahina, loves the zoo, you know, and you know, when my grandkids were here not too long ago and we visited the zoo, and didn't ask you for free tickets that time because we went with somebody that had a family pass, so that was that worked out really well, and we enjoyed everything that we saw again and over lots of memories at the Reed Park Zoo. Well, we're going to be back in just a few moments, and thank you, Deborah, for telling us about the babies. And I didn't realize you had more babies coming, you know, so that's and the public gets to name the babies. That's pretty neat. So are they rolling in the names?
Well, and I might add that our babies this year, the two we've had born, have been born on holidays. So that puts an extra spin on it. But yes, we do have quite a few names coming in for the zebra, and we'll be announcing one for the giraffe.
Okay, great. Soon. Well, thank you for that. And I know it's important. That's just another reason why to go back to the zoo time and time again. And the best way to enjoy the zoo is with a membership. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back to segment four, and we hear from Deborah and from Adam about watch how our zoo is growing. Okay, we're back with our final segment with Deborah and Adam from the Reed Park Zoo, and we're having a good chat about all the things, the stars of the zoo. We're going to end the show today to talk a little bit about a couple of things. One is how important the volunteers are when you go to the zoo. You're not only seeing all the wonderful animals out there, but you're also learning a lot about those animals and where they live in the wild, and some of the special foods they eat, and you know, really all about, you can imagine how educated the volunteers are, and how the stories that they can tell you about those animals. So, Deborah, you have a lot of volunteers out there.
We do. We have well over 100 very dedicated volunteers to the zoo, at the zoo, and they serve in all areas. But one of the most special things that they do every day is really bring that guest experience alive. They have touch, whether they're out with touch carts or doing special talks and presentations at the habitats, they really connect people to the animals. And we hear time and time again in our visitor surveys about how special they are, and really they made the difference in a guest visit. They learned something new that they didn't know about an animal, or they really felt that they walked away knowing a lot about the zoo, and a very personal interaction with those volunteers. We're very fortunate, and we have everything from teen volunteers who also help out with conservation projects, all the way up to you know, our volunteer docents and guests, and they help out at all of our events, and really benefit and bless the zoo in so many ways.
That's fantastic. You want to make sure that when you're at the zoo, you engage those volunteers as well. What is new? I think there's been lots and lots of articles about the capital improvement plan, how the community's been involved, not only just the folks around the Reed Park Zoo or go to the Reed Park, but really the whole community was involved in the planning. So you and I had a conversation recently about the new kind of family, but mostly children's play area, the World of Play. Got that name. You reminded me. But what else is going on? What's new, and what can we expect in... We don't have a lot of time to talk about that because it's pages and pages, folks. And I think you can see the master plan still online.
Yes, if you go to our website at reedparkzoo.org, you'll be able to follow along with those improvements and expansions.
So the World of Play, just hoping. Prior to that, was it the flamingos?
We had a new two-toed sloth in our South American area. And that opened in August, and World of Play, yes, just opened, and kids can come and climb and slide and jump and crawl and see the world and explore it from an animal's perspective.
Yeah, when we got to San Diego and to Legoland, not a zoo, but they didn't care about anything else other than the play area, and we couldn't get them out of there.
Yeah, we're finding that a lot. Our attendance has really gone up anywhere from 30 to 50% per month since we opened World of Play, and gives a lot, an extra thing for the families to do while they're there. And the kids, of course, learn about animals and conservation by doing, and hands-on experiences.
So one of the things that when I was at Old Tucson there as general manager in the late 90s was the lack of things for families to do in town. Now, since then, there's ropes and ladders and climb things and trampoline parks, and all those are wonderful things to do with the family, but there's nothing better than going to Reed Park Zoo with your family. One of the things that I think with the new exhibits, you're going to, and of course the new babies, people want to come back and they keep coming back. So what's the biggest exhibit now that World of Play is open that we can look forward to?
Well, we will be starting construction this spring on Pathway to Asia, which is really going to be transformative for the zoo. It's going to add about 4.1 acres. And it'll bring new species to the zoo, such as red pandas, Komodo dragons, Malayan tigers. We're going to be a conservation and breeding center for tigers. And it'll have a wonderful aviary-type experience where you can interact with the birds and feed them. Adam can probably tell you a little bit more about some of those species that we have that we're looking into, but it will really showcase the rich biodiversity of Asia. And it directly comes, we were talking a little bit about surveys and about what people have told us that they wanted, and those were specific species that guests have indicated that they wanted to see at the zoo. It's going to be a two-year project, a major addition to the zoo, and we're really excited to see that happen.
Adam, just 15 seconds. Tell us more about the animals that we might be able to, we're going to see.
Yeah, so we'll have Asian small clawed otters, lar gibbons, Malayan tigers, Komodo dragons, red pandas, a large reptile house that'll have different animals there, fruit bats, giant fruit bats, aviary, sand cats. So lots of different birds and reptile species in there as well.
Yeah. Fantastic. Well, folks, what a great show. Thank you so much for coming and sharing their stories and new information. Hopefully you've learned, our listening audience, about what there is to see at the zoo now and what you're going to be able to encounter when you go to the zoo in a couple of years. But we don't want you to wait till then, because there's babies everywhere. So thanks again for visiting with us here at Jump in Tucson. Lots of stuff going on with Dr. Ackerley and his guests, with Dale Lopez, and it's going to talk a lot about what's going on with the Cougar Basketball Classic. Don't forget to go to our website, TucsonAttractions.com, and you can learn more about all the attractions. You can learn about all of the attractions here in Southern Arizona. So thank you. Don't forget to visit KVY.com.